Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and attention. I will try and use it wisely. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for y'all. Yeah. Homestead. Not a whole lot. Still have some clouds in the sky. Still have some hints or threats or promises, depending on your point of view of rain. I think the guineas have a nest somewhere. It's always a game to try and find the guinea nest before the creatures that eat the guinea eggs find it. And I have no idea right now where they are, but they seem to be acting like that. It's a little early for the guineas to have a nest, I feel like, but it's been a warmer than usual winter, or milder than usual. So maybe that's why. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us as individuals and as a nation. Help us to remember that those blessings are from you, not because of our own prowess, our own strength, or intelligence, wisdom. Help us to turn back to you, Father, as a nation. Strengthen our marriages. Strengthen our families. Strengthen our faith. Help us to seek you above all else, to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Be with those who protect us and defend us, Lord, and our military, our law enforcement, our firefighters. Bring them home safe to their families. Give them wisdom and courage and a strong faith. Help us to support them, to encourage them, to back them up, to stand with them against those who would do evil. And bring us home to you, Father, in the end, because of the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our faith in him. Strengthen our faith. Give us faith, Father. And guide my words here, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, I feel like I need to apologize for the last podcast. I don't feel like that went very well. But maybe, you know, a lot of times the podcast that I think went really well, y'all don't think were great. And that sometimes when I think I've produced the worst podcast ever, that ends up being the one that people tell me they thought was really good. Maybe that's God's way of keeping me humble, and that I feel like the good ones, or the ones I feel like are good, aren't, and the ones that don't are. So I know he must be doing something, because it's obviously not me. And so, which is kind of upsetting for today, because I feel like this is going to be a really good podcast, so it probably won't, but that's okay. We're going to go back to, well, really, we're just going to talk about John Adams a lot today. We haven't talked about him for a while, and I'm not going to sit and do multiple podcasts on him this time. But I stumbled across, I think about this quote often, and I just stumbled across it again, and it drove me to a couple others that really kind of tie into our theme of education. But I'm going to stop right here first, because I haven't done it on the last couple podcasts, and go back. Have you read your Bible today? Have you carved out time for God to pray, to read your Bible? If you haven't, turn the podcast off. We'll still be here. You can go do that. That's far more important than this podcast. And then if you have time, then you can come back and listen some. You know, and one of the things I've started to say on the podcast at the beginning sometimes, and I've thought this for a while, I hope that you're able to listen to this podcast with a friend, whether that's your spouse or parent or children or just a friend at whatever level you're at, junior high, high school, college, an adult. I hope it gives y'all something to talk about. And it really adds some tools and gives you some faith in the country, actually, I guess, at the core. But I hope you're able to enjoy it with somebody else. So, and I hope that you're able to do that often with your Bible reading. That's where I was going with that. You know, it's sometimes we do need, a lot of times maybe even most of the time, depending on our personality, we need to study the Bible on our own. We need to read the Word of God. We need to pray on our own. But for a lot of us folks, it's good to have somebody else there to listen to the Word of God with. That's why church is so important, to be around other believers. And so just, if you haven't, whether you're on your own or with somebody, read the Bible, make some time to pray. And if you're married, folks, have you carved out time to put your spouse in that second priority position today? Whether it's early in the morning, late in the day, have you made time to make sure that they know that you're their second priority? Or they're your second priority. Yeah, sorry. You know what I mean. And it doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter whether it's just sitting and listening to them without offering an answer or advice or a solution. Whether it's walking up and down the road, whether it's sitting on the porch holding hands, whether it's sex, whether it's baking them a cake, whatever it is, folks, that makes your spouse know that they're your second priority each day, we have time. We just are selfish and don't want to give the time. And then we want to lie and say we don't have the time. And then half the time when we do actually do it, it's like it's a burden or a chore. It takes so much of the joy and the happiness out of marriage and life, folks. All right, that's my little, what I'm starting to try and say each day. So read your Bible, pray, love your spouse. John Adams, let me see if I can get a date. Again, folks, America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, Founders Bible, Patriots Bible. These ought to be primary textbooks in every classroom across the country. I'm using a couple of them today. So, October 11th, 1798. He was addressing the military, actually. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Hey, folks, and please make no mistake, regardless of what you hear from the left of the world today, every time our founders were talking about religion, they were talking about Christianity. Not Islam, not Buddhism, Hinduism, not Judaism, not Mother Natureism, not atheism. They were talking about Christianity. Our founders, the men that signed the Declaration, the men that ratified the Constitution, the delegates, right, overwhelmingly avowed Christians. And even the, like, couple that were deists had a Christian worldview. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And this is what that interview that we talked about on the last podcast between Tucker Carlson and Doug Wilson, the pastor. And this is what Pastor Wilson was talking about. You can't make laws or elect a politician or support a party enough to make us a nation to govern this country if you don't have a people who follow the principles of Jesus Christ, who are moral and religious. That's the whole point. It, folks, it doesn't matter. You can pick whatever your favorite politician is. Elect them and then pretend that they fill every single office across the country. It might buy us a decade. Probably not even that. It might buy us half a decade. If we, the people, don't turn back to God, to the Bible, to the commands of Jesus Christ, our nation cannot stand. June 2nd, 1778. This is a journal entry from John Adams, and it ties in to what we talked about yesterday or the day before on the podcast briefly about Cotton Mather and why, for example, that history that he wrote of New England, why isn't that taught in our schools today? That's the first 50 or so years, 70 years of New England, which is where our country started, and it's considered one of the, if not the greatest history ever written of that area. Why don't we have a whole class a year? Why isn't it given to that? Why are we giving our students time to all these other things? That's just one example. John Adams again, 1778, in vain are schools, academies, and universities instituted. If loose principles and licentious habits are impressed upon children in their earliest years, the vices and examples of the parents cannot be concealed from the children. How is it possible that children can have any just sense of their sacred obligations of morality or religion if, from their earliest infancy, they learn their mothers live in habitual infidelity to their fathers, and their fathers in as constant infidelity to their mothers? We don't teach our kids the Bible. That's not the center of public education anymore. And so many of our children grow up in broken homes today. The out of wedlock birth rate has increased. I think it's tripled over the last 40 or 50 years. The number of divorces and broken families has obviously greatly increased over the last 40 or 50 years. And a lot of it is, as he said, you know, it's mom cheating on the dad while the dad's away, or dad cheating on the mom while they're away. And one of the great points here is he said, children see this. And I've often found it amazing in my experiences over the years with children of multiple different ages. It's kind of like Marines in the Marine Corps. Marines had the ability, your young Marines, your young enlisted Marines, they had the ability to sniff out a fake. to use some crude vernacular, they had the ability to sniff out Bravo Sierra faster than you could make it up. Children aren't stupid, folks, and we have developed this idea that children are idiots. They're naive. They make some poor decisions. Their judgment isn't really developed, but they're not stupid. They see what's going on. A lot of times our children get it well before we do. The transgender issue is a great example right now. I think in Oregon, perhaps within the last couple of weeks, there was a boy pretending to be a girl that ran a, I don't know, 200 meter dash. I saw the video of it, and he finishes, it looks like he finishes almost 100 meters in front of the girls, but it's certainly a long time. And it sounds like, or at least when I last read that story, it sounded like they were going to go ahead and give him all the accolades that went along with it. So your top female, and I know this isn't unusual, it's happened in other places already. It's just still shocking that people are going along with it. Your top female athlete is actually a male now in Oregon in this particular race, right? That's the record. And the kids know that's wrong. They inherently get that that's not okay. But it becomes harder, and this is what Adams was getting at. It becomes harder and harder for kids to be able to discern or articulate the things that they kind of know intrinsically because they see their parents doing it. They see the authorities doing it. We don't teach the Bible anymore. Well, I guess the Bible's not important. Mom and dad cheat on each other and they got divorced. Well, I guess I can sleep with whoever I want, and marriage is just kind of a temporary situation. So and so got an abortion the other day. Mom and dad said that that's a good thing. So I guess it's okay. We can go kill babies. You know, we didn't start off this way, folks. We have a lot of mistakes in the history of our country, but we used to acknowledge them as mistakes once we finally corrected them, at least. You know? Slavery is a great example. There were a number of our founders who despised slavery, and they did a lot of great things in setting this country up, but that was one spot they didn't do so good, and they couldn't figure it out, or they wouldn't. Hard to say. But they knew it was wrong and they wanted to fix it. You look at some of our greatest founding fathers, even the slave owners, Jefferson, Washington, they wanted to get rid of it. They knew it was wrong. They didn't pretend it was right. Today we're pretending things that are wrong are right. That's a huge difference, folks. Huge difference in our country. I think I had one more. Oh yeah. I just like this one. I like a lot of John Adams quotes because they're pretty spot on. We'll end with this one. Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. And if this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure than they have it now, they may change their rulers and the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. They will only exchange tyrants and tyrannies. That was from June 21st, 1776. So the only way we can have the principles which secure liberty, folks, not the freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whoever we want, however we want, to whoever we want, but liberty. The freedom to live the way we want, as long as it's not harming others in the nation. is Christianity and the principles, the morals that Jesus Christ taught. That's our second president, folks, and I dare say that he knew a heck of a lot more than a lot of the people today claiming to know so much about our nation and our founding and what we should or shouldn't do. Again, folks, it goes back to, if we want liberty, it doesn't matter what we plan or speculate on, who we elect, what policies. If we don't get back to the Bible, the commands of Christ, it's over. God bless y'all, folks. We'll talk to y'all real soon.